Amen. What a sweet presence of God. Amen. Man, that was so anointed. I hope the Spirit of the Lord has already ministered to you. Certainly did me. And so many things, the Lord, I think there were so many messages that the Lord was giving us in those songs. I don't know if you know, like, the backstory of that song that Eric led, Abide. I don't know even the title. Is it just Abide? But he was in service one day, and he felt like, obviously it was the Lord, but he wanted to find a song that was Abide. And so he went looking for this song. And it was, and so the Lord led him to this song. And I believe it's a gift to this body. Just abide. That's the key, guys. Just abide with him. Whatever you need today, just learn to abide. Just dwell with him. Just be with him. And you don't have to seek the gifts. Just seek the giver, right? Abide with him, and he will take care of every problem you have. Turn into John chapter 2. We're going to pick up with verse 12. The title of this sermon is Prepare Me to Be Your Sanctuary. Prepare me to be your sanctuary. We're starting with verse 12. We just talked last week about the wedding of Cana. And then after verse 11, it says, verse 12 comes after verse 11. Isn't that interesting? It says, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Now, I'm going to read the rest of it, but I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart. It was a word for you, and I don't know which service, maybe both services, but not all assignments of God are permanent. There are some assignments of God that are temporary, and so that just jumped out at me as I read that. He didn't stay there very long. And then he was going somewhere else. He was headed to Jerusalem. Years and years ago, I took a job that I thought was going to be permanent. We lived in Murray for so many years and was a worship leader and had lots of positions. And so I took this job and with Venture and moved to Evansville. Treva didn't move. So the kids were in the school. That was in December. And so I moved up there about April. She was going to quit her job and then after school, and then she was going to move to Evansville with me. And about April, I said, hey, don't quit your job. I'm not staying here. And so when I went back to Murray and went back to the church, I had so many people would come to me and say, you missed God, didn't you? And I said, no, I didn't miss God. I did exactly what God told me. Now, I didn't have all the answers. I mean, this is 30 years ago. Honestly, I just got the answers in the last few years. Sometimes I'm a little dull. Took me a little while. But I just said, no, I know I didn't miss God. I don't understand what he's doing, but I didn't miss God. I was supposed to go, but now I'm supposed to come back. But the people did not understand it. Well, it's none of their business anyway. And so it was my business and the Lord's business. And so what I learned from that is not all assignments of God are permanent. Some are temporary. And some are for you to go, make a mark, learn, and then come back and use what you learned. And so that little assignment, which lasted 7 months, changed my life. Literally, it gave me what I needed to take the next step, which was going to the Senior Citizen Center and learning. Honestly, some people say they go to a seminary. I went to the cemetery. I learned to pastor at a Senior Citizen Center. And those people taught me not only how to cook, but they taught me how to pastor a church. So it's interesting. So I just felt like that's probably not to all of you, but I think it may be to a few of you. Don't get upset if the Lord moves you someplace, and not literally, but takes you someplace and then maybe takes you to another place. It's okay. Not all assignments are permanent, okay? Verse 13, Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep, the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise." Then his disciples remembered that it was written, this is Psalm 69:9, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then the Jew says, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple and you'll raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, and when they saw the signs which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Father God, I'm so thankful for your presence today. Lord, it was obvious, God, that you were here. It's obvious that you were large and ministering to hearts, and Lord, for which I'm extremely grateful. God, we don't come to church for a show. We don't come to church to rub elbows with the right people. We come to church to be with you, Father, to worship together. Lord, to grow together in community. Lord, you said that two or three of you gather together in my name, there you are in the midst of them. And you said that if we would lift you up, you would draw all men near. And Father, we felt that today. We felt the drawing of our hearts to your presence. And God, only eternity will tell us what you did in this worship time. But Lord, I know that you are ministering to hearts. And again, I say, Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, that you would anoint me to speak your words, that there would not be condemnation, but there'd be freedom in this scripture, and that we'd receive what we're supposed to receive from your spirit. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. It's a good song. We sing that. So Jesus, he leaves Cana of Galilee, goes down to Capernaum, and then it says he goes to Jerusalem, which is the holiest place in Israel. It's a holy place. And he's going to celebrate the Passover, which is one of the most solemn times of the year. And yet when he gets there, he's disgusted. You ever came to church and got disgusted? Saw something that was not right? And it just grieved your spirit. Well, most of us, when that happens, we're smart enough just to say, okay, it's not my business. Just chill out, you know, and we don't say much, but Jesus, it was his business. And so he did say something. And I love the story of John. You know, this happened twice, right? It happened towards the end. This is the beginning. So don't get those two stories mixed up. But John tells us, most people, in their mind, I think they think he went over and he picked up a whip, but the Bible says very specifically, he made the whip. He sat there, and I've watched my father-in-law, what do you call that when you braid, when you braid the leather, you know, and said he was doing this out of rope. But I've watched my father-in-law braid leather, and every once in a while he'd jerk it just to get it tight. And in my mind's eye, I can see Jesus braiding this together and think, yeah, that ought to work, you know. And a lot of people, we have problems with this. And we think, well, Jesus was angry. Jesus was passionate. There's a difference in being angry. Most of the time when we get angry, there's a selfish motive. It's because someone did something to us. There was no selfishness here with Jesus. There was a zeal, a passion that the house of God was not being treated very, very well. And so we all know this story. People were coming to make their sacrifices, and the merchants decided to take advantage of that. And said, hey, Roy, instead of bringing your sheep with you all those miles and driving those sheep, don't worry about that. When you get there, I'll sell you one. They were making it convenient. I find that today we have a lot of convenient Christianity. Convenient Christianity will turn out to not be Christianity at all. It can be, you know, somebody said the other day in our Tuesday night meeting, God's not into your comfort. Americans like to be comfortable all the time. You see, if the pews are not comfortable, I'll find a new church. If the temperature gets uncomfortable, I'm going to complain to somebody. I even had somebody come into my office one time and complain to me about the toilet paper. I'm like, I'm sure your butt doesn't care, you know? Come on, folks. But that's Americans, right? We want convenient Christianity. If you think, boy, those Jews were really messing up, no, America is messing up. The church of today is messing up because we're always looking for something a little easier. Hey, let's take the crosses down. Let's not sing about the blood. That's offensive to some people. Don't preach too hard. Don't preach too long. Don't get excited. You're going to offend. I don't care. I find the book is offensive sometimes. The word of God, the Bible talks about it being a hammer. It breaks. Sometimes the hardness of our heart gets so hard, it takes the hammer of the word of God. Say, break that off. Stop that. You're being stupid. You're being crazy. It's nonsense. Let's get back to the basics. What are the basics? Jesus and Him crucified. Resurrected from the dead. Abide in Him. Are you getting this? I read an article one time that this church was advertising Light Church. And I think this was just a funny thing. But Light Church. But I thought, my goodness, how much that is true today. Light Church only has 7.5% tithes instead of 10% tithes. They only teach 7 commandments instead of 10 commandments. And they will offer you a 15-minute sermon. You laugh and you think that's really funny. That's American Christianity, folks. I can't tell you how many people have told me your sermons are too long. You need to shorten your sermons. You know what? I'm going to preach until Jesus tells me to stop. And sometimes I'll preach longer than when Jesus tells me. I know. I don't always get it right. So He makes a whip and He drives out the animals. He drives out the money changers, flips them over, and speaks that statement, my Father's house. It's in Matthew 21. It's the second time. It's the one that ministers to me so much. My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. When we started this church, I asked the Lord, what do you want? He said, I want the Bridge of Hope to be a house of prayer. I want it to be a house of love. And so those are the visions that the Lord has given us. And so I think most of you understand, you know, Jesus operated in the Old Testament covenant. When Jesus came, most of us think the New Testament starts at Matthew 1. Not really. The New Testament covenant really starts in Acts chapter 1. The Gospels are really sort of under the Old Testament. Jesus is fulfilling. It's when He died and rose from the dead. And then it wasn't totally done at that point. You know, He had some more work to do. It's in the day of Pentecost is when the new covenant came, when we started new. So He's acting under the old covenant. He's following the law, in other words. He's going to the temple to offer his sacrifices, to celebrate the Passover. And so when he's there is when he sees all this. But what I'm telling you is this. Jesus cared about the details of the Old Testament law. He cared about how we treated the temple, the building, the house. So I want to talk to you for just a second today. There should be reverence in the house. Now, we are a casual church. We will come up in a no jacket, no tie, no collar, no robe, right? And we laugh together and we do a lot of things together. But folks, there must be reverence in the house of God. And when the Spirit starts moving, there needs to be more reverence. You need to be careful chatting it up during worship. You need to be careful interrupting people that are in their worship time. You are moving against the Spirit, what the Spirit is doing. Am I making sense? We need to, I've thought, you don't know how much I've thought about stopping all the drinking in the temple, in the big room. Let's just call it a big room. Why? Because I'm sick and tired of seeing Pat go get a mop right in the middle of a sermon or right during the middle of worship. Just tears me up, folks. Why? You don't know what the Spirit of God is doing during a song like Abide. The Spirit of God is moving, and maybe He's bringing deliverance to Brandy, and I come up and say, hey, how you doing, girl? How was Friday? No. You chatted up after service. But when we're in this, am I making sense? You've got to reverence the move of God. It is solemn, but it's precious. Am I making sense? There's nothing like the Spirit of God moving. He sets people free. There's more things I believe happen in a worship service than probably ever happens during the preaching. I'm telling you, God moves as we lift Him up. He says, I'll draw all men near. When He draws you near, He begins to whittle on you just a little bit. He begins to say, you know, you really blew it the other night, didn't you? Maybe He only talks to me that way because I regularly blow it. Reverence the presence. If you don't, He won't. You want to stop the move of God? Act like the money changers in the house. Does that make sense? Say, well, we don't do that anymore. No, but we have our own customs. Right? So that's not my sermon, but it was just too good not to throw it out there. So if Jesus was concerned about the temple, how much more in the New Testament, starting with Acts 1, how much more is He concerned with your temple? This is what the Lord really burned on my heart as I studied. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This building is only holy when you get in it. Amen. Other than that, it's just a room. It's just a room. There's nothing holy about this building. We could sell this and it could become a car lot next week. Anybody want to buy it? No. But when you get here, when you come in, it becomes a holy place of God. Why? Because you're here and the Holy Spirit is here. When two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in. Do you see that? So what's really the holy thing? You. So let's back this up with some scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's also in chapter 3. But chapter 6, verse 19, he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You get that, right? You don't get to do what you want to do. My kids are constantly talking to us, Treva and I, and says, why don't you move to Cincinnati? Ain't my choice, not my decision. And it's not yours either. Well, let's just get a little personal. You know how many people will move because they can make a dollar more an hour? And they'll leave where they're at, where God is blessing them because somebody offered them a better job. Folks, I'm telling you, it ain't about money. Life is not about how much you make per hour. God will provide for you. What you need to do is you need to stay where God is blessing you. Where if you've got a good church where the Spirit of God is moving in your heart, that's worth more than a job. Now, I'm not preaching against working because I believe in working. He says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. He said, don't let sin control you the way you live, and don't give in to your sinful desires. Do not let any part of the body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you are dead and now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Now take this body, take this energy, take these gifts, take these talents, take this intelligence that you have and use it for God. Don't get saved and then try to live as close to the world as you can. Oh, that's good preaching, Pastor. When you get saved, dedicate yourself to Jesus and say, I'm giving you everything. It may not be much, but it's everything. You have all of me, God. It says, I love this statement. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. I don't know. I think a lot of times we may think of sexual, whatever. But in my mind, what this is really saying is between your ears. Don't give this over to the devil. Everything starts here. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You need to keep this clean. Keep this holy. Be careful what you allow to come before your eyes. I'm preaching like an old Pentecost now. 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, you're coming to Christ. Listen to this. Who is the living cornerstone of God's temple? He's the living cornerstone. You know, they didn't build houses back then like we build today with full foundations. But they would take a stone and they would set that stone in the corner, and then everything would come off of that one stone. That one stone is, does that make sense to you? We align ourselves with the chief cornerstone. Am I square with Jesus? Golly, is that not good? Am I in line with his teaching, with his doctrine? Let's go on. He says, he was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. Amen. Now listen to this. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you're holy priests through the mediation of Jesus Christ, who offers you spiritual sacrifices that please God. Today, we build houses with blocks and bricks, which are man-made. And they're perfect. You can count on it. I think they're, 8 inches high and 12 inches long. A block is always the same. A brick's pretty much always the same. But he doesn't say that we are bricks and blocks. He says we're stones. No stone is alike. We built our house and in our fireplace, we had it stoned. If we'd had it brick, they probably could have done it in a day. But because it was stone, it took about 4 days. Why? Because it took a master mason, a master builder, to come in and place the stones because nothing's square. So they had to place them where they looked good together. Come on, folks, you better get this. You've not been called a block. Maybe a blockhead, but not. You've been called a stone. You see, God created you with all your idiosyncrasies. He created you with your personality. He's not looking to duplicate you and to make you look like me. Aren't you thankful? He wants you to be you. But in that, he scrapes off the old. He scrapes off the stuff that's not good, the stuff that's not usable, right? I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But let's quit trying to all look alike. We're not stone. We're not blocks and bricks. We're stones. We're living stones out of him. And so he's going to take you. And the Bible says we are fitted together. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. We're fitted. Bridge of Hope is not the church. Assembly of God is not the church. The church is much greater. The church is made up of non-denomination and Catholic and Presbyterians and Church of God and Baptist. And are you getting this? It's not a denominational thing. We are the church. We're a part. And God says, I'm fitting you together. You need to quit looking at all the people that don't call themselves the same thing that you call yourself. And say, well, you ain't got nothing to offer. Yes, they do. And see, when the body of Christ comes together and takes off our titles and stops saying, oh, I'm Pentecost and you need to learn from me. Then stop that nonsense. Let's grow together. Let's let the Lord, let the Holy Ghost fit us together. And when we get fitted together, we're going to be stronger than we've ever been in our lives. The church will come alive when we allow the Holy Ghost to fit us together and to use us all for the glory of God. That's why I believe he calls us stones, living stones. So if God disciplines the people in the temple, you better know he's going to discipline you. If the very first thing God did, I mean, he's right at the start, right? This is right at the start of the ministry. He had his first miracle at the wedding, and now he goes to the temple and he shows a side of him that many of us don't like, but it was a good side. The Bible says he'll discipline those he loves. Does he love anybody in the house? Yes, he does. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his children. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? Actually, America does. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you're illegitimate and you're not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable. Can you remember being a child? No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. A peaceful harvest of righteousness is what King James would say. You know, there's the fruit of righteousness. If you live for God, it's going to show up. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. Examine yourself by the fruit that you're displaying. Am I making sense? If you abide, you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit begin to come out. If you do your own thing, you're going to see a different type of fruit come out. That's just Kelleher 101, right? Just plain simple. I had three boys, and I believed in discipline. I was a disciplinarian. Since that time, I've apologized to them many times. I'm sorry. I probably disciplined you too much. But you know what? I got good boys. I've got really good boys. And they didn't like the discipline. I remember I spanking my, I believe in spanking. Why do you believe in spanking? Because the Bible says so. It says drive the foolishness out of the child with the rod of correction. I don't believe in beating children. I don't believe in spanking when you're angry. I believe discipline is out of love. It's correction. Let the Lord lead you in this. But let me tell you, God gave us a little extra padding in one place. Use it. Use it wisely. Now, where was I going? Matt was about 3 years old, and I was disciplining him. And I let go of him. And he looked at me, and he said, "Treat me like a wild animal." And I thought, well, there's probably some truth to that. We try to correct wild animals that way, and I was trying to bring correction to him. And the Holy Spirit is trying to bring correction to you. You know, nobody really likes correction, do we? I don't like to be told I'm wrong. You probably don't either. But you're not going to get any better if the Holy Spirit doesn't correct you. And if you don't receive it. And so you can fight against God's correction. And many of us do. And that may be your first reaction when the Lord says you're wrong and this, you're doing this. And you ever said anything and you now get three steps away and the Spirit of God says, "Oh, that was ugly. You need to apologize for that." What do? We just keep walking. What does a wise man do? "You're right, Lord. Hey, what I just said, I'm sorry. That was an ugly spirit." I'm telling you, Bible says who's perfect in this is perfect in all of his ways. See, this is one way where we mess up a whole lot. And so the Lord is going to correct you a lot through your words and the things that you say and the attitudes of your heart, right? But don't be simple-minded and try just to change this. Because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're having a problem with the words that you're speaking, it's really not the words, it's really the heart. And so you can change your words, but that won't really change your attitude. You got to ask the Lord, "Lord, put an axe to that root. That root of bitterness, that root of unforgiveness, that root that keeps springing up in me, that root of rebellion, that root that says, I want to do my own thing. Put an axe to that root, Spirit of God, so that the fruit will change, so that there'll be a fruit of righteousness in my life and not the fruit of ugliness, which many of us have walked in." So we don't like discipline, but a wise person heeds it. Matter of fact, my son sent me, he said, "Dad," he said, "I've been reading Proverbs 2. It's so wonderful." And he says, "Heed the words of your father." Listen to the words of your father. Listen to the words of your father. Gain wisdom. Get understanding. You know what it's going to help you do? Understand the fear of the Lord. Are we coming back to that? See, if you understand the fear of the Lord, I won't have to teach you about reverencing the Spirit of God. Because you don't want to step out of line when the Spirit of God is moving. There's been times when I've been preaching and I felt such a heavy anointing of God's presence that I just stop and I think, "Lord, I don't want to mess up right now. I want to make sure I'm saying the right thing because I feel your presence is right. Does that make sense? Well, you should feel that too. God, I don't want to mess up. I want to make sure that I'm moving in love. Let's get back to discipline. You can jerk away from that. We've got Brother Jim here today, and he works with horses. And so remember the fit to be tied out there, and he talked to us a lot about that. But I'm sure horses take discipline, you know, and he has to train them to where they just, you know, horses ain't just going to naturally follow him. It takes training. And remember how he dropped the reins, and he didn't even have to hold it. He wasn't leading that horse, but he was just walking around, and that horse was right at his side. That takes years of discipline, I'm sure. And so that's what I want. I don't want to have to be led. I don't want the Spirit of the Lord to have to grab my collar and say, come with me, boy. I want to stay in step with the Holy Ghost. How does that happen? Lots of discipline and lots of listening to that discipline. So I've shared with you what the Lord has given me today. One other thing, I had some verses here. James 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing, proving of your faith produces patience. Most of us think patience is terrible. Actually, Luke says, in your patience, possess your soul. But it all comes from accepting what the Lord is doing in your life. And so we're corrected largely by the Word of God. Let the Word of God correct you, reprove you, bring your doctrine. And so would you stand with me? I know that's I'm a little abrupt, but I want to get to this part. I don't want to miss it. I want to open up the altars today. We have no altar. Let's open up. We're going to open up this space for you to respond, not to a pastor, but to the Spirit of God. So that if the Lord has been correcting you and you've been resisting, you need to be first up here. And you need to humble yourself. Come on up, Treve. I knew the Lord was talking to you, babe. I'm sorry. Yeah, maybe I need to be the first one. If you've been resisting the Spirit of God's correction, I want you to come down and humble yourself before Him and say, God, I hear you. And I'm just showing you right now, bless your heart. Such a humble man. Amen. Don't you tell me God doesn't see that. Amen. God sees that. Humility moves the heart of God. Yes, it does. And so it's not just for those that are in the process of correction, but those maybe who have said, Lord, I need to just get back in fellowship with you. I need, you know, it's been a long time since you corrected me, and that worries me because there's nobody. Listen to me. There's no one that doesn't need correction. I don't care if you've been serving Jesus for 50 or 60 years, you've not arrived. And if the Spirit of God is not correcting you, you need to ask Him why. And I'll guarantee you it's not Him. I'll guarantee you it's because you've been too hard-headed. Maybe because the last time He corrected you, you said, get behind me, Satan. I don't want to listen to you. I'm doing my thing. Or maybe you've been saying, I've got this Christianity thing down. No, you don't. You're lying to yourself. None of us have it down pat. It's a walk of faith. We don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to stay in step with the Spirit of God. These people, are you getting this? This takes true humility to come down and stand before a congregation. And they ain't worried about you. They're not worried about what you're thinking. They're saying, Jesus, help me. I want to be pleasing. I want to be your sanctuary. I want to be a house of God. I want to be one of those stones. I want to draw closer to you than I've ever been. God, I want your discipline because there's lots of areas in my life that needs it. Now, I would that some of you would just come down, stand behind these folks, begin to intercede and pray for them. Come on, move. Find somebody. The Spirit of God will show you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Touch my brother. God, I thank you for the humility. Thank you, God. Lord, you said that if we would humble ourselves before you, you would exalt us. God, only you know what's in his heart today. Only you know what brought him to this altar. But Lord, I know, Lord, that he is seeking you. He's seeking a closeness. He's seeking the divine right now. God, you said that if we would seek you, Lord, that you would, Lord, that you would manifest us, God. You'd manifest yourself. If we would draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Lord, right now, touch my brother in the name of Jesus. Whatever he needs, God, I pray. Father God, I just come before you right now. Lord, there's a spirit of humility in this place. And God, I pray, Lord, begin to touch hearts. Begin to show them, Lord, where they need the correction. God, we are saying today as your people, correct us. Discipline us. I know it may be painful, it may be grievous, but I want to be your sanctuary. I want to be a place where your spirit inhabits. I want to be that person that the Spirit of God dwells in. And Lord, if that means correction, correct me. Correct me. Correct me, God. Lord, make me useful for the kingdom. God, I pray, Lord, as living stones, Lord, we understood that. We are living stones being built together. Lord, I pray, God, intertwine our hearts together, God. Move us, Lord, as a body of Christ so that we would help each other. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God, I pray, Lord, help us to help each other. Help us to make the other person, Lord, accountable, God. Help us, Lord, to be pleasing in your sight. Help us to be better evangelists, better ambassadors for your kingdom, God, as the Spirit of the Lord touches us and draws us each one to your presence. Abide with us. Abide with us, Spirit of God. Jesus, I pray, Lord. Lord, there's people in the pew that didn't come down. But Lord, I believe there's a genuine sense of everyone in this house. God, I need to draw closer to you. I want to be pleasing in your sight. God, if they're here today and they do not know you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would repent and they would accept you as their Savior. God, that they would say, forgive me, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior today. God, I know you are faithful to do that. I thank you for that. And for the rest of us, Lord, our prayer is to draw closer to you than we've ever been before. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come?
Praise the Lord. Raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And go in peace and serve the Lord.